Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live every day from sunny Southern California. Man, I hope you're doing great. Healthy, happy, ready for a Merry Christmas. If you light the menorah, hope you're having a happy Hanukkah. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I crushed it last night, boys. My Hanukkah gifts, I gave makeup to my 15-year-old daughters, and my daughter, one of my daughters texted me today and said, you did a really good job. It's not an easy challenge. As you know, Ramos, with the age of your oldest, right? It's like, you know, buying things for young ladies it's not easy. It's really hard, really hard. You know what else is really hard? Deciding what accent to stick with, right? By now, I'm completely sure that you have heard the awful togas from Brian Kelly, right? Jay Stu, what's your opinion of the togas from Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly's accent?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty embarrassing, but I understand where he's coming from.
Where is he coming from?
He wants to relate to the folk down there. I mean, when in Rome, right? I mean, when in Rome, don't you speak Italian?
Yeah, well, when in Paris, you must speak French, or they, you know, that's the thing about a lot. That's actually, you know what? That's a great point that I'm not sure a lot of people will get until we make this point, which is, you know, like I tell people all the time, when you go to Israel, and I've lived in Israel, everybody speaks English. Right? There's nobody who doesn't speak English. But when you get into a taxi, or I think it's called Zcar, is there like Uber there? When you get into a car there, they will pretend for as long as you allow them to that they don't speak English, and they will only speak Hebrew. And I believe there's several tests there, but they're also going to listen to you and what you say about them, knowing full well they speak English, you know? They speak English. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I'll give you my thoughts on the Brian Kelly togas, as he clearly tried to slide in the, I'm going to take my first attempt at speaking the cultural language of Louisiana, whatever. Like, it is really a different culture in Louisiana. And I've never understood the local pronunciations of some word. It's like if you go to Louisville, Kentucky, they say Louisville like this, like Louisville, like V-U-L-L-E. On the other hand, the University of Louisville is called the Ville. Why isn't it called the Vull? Byer, can you explain that to me? Why is it it's Louisville? Why isn't it called the Vull?
I'm not sure. I spell Louisville with like 8 L's because of what you just said. There just seems to be a lot of L's. I'm not sure. The Vull. It should be apostrophe V-U-L-L-L, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, people try and do it all the time. You try and assimilate to the language of where you are, right? That's a very, very normal thing. And I think I pointed this out, if anybody's ever heard Lincoln Riley speak, Lincoln Riley's from Texas. He was coaching in Oklahoma. Before that, he was coaching in East Carolina. But if you listen to how he speaks, it's the exact same pacing accent as Bob Stoops, you know, no question. Everybody knows that, certainly. Like, you listen to Bob Stoops talk, you listen to Lincoln Riley talk, you're like, are they related? Same thing with Mark Stoops, same thing with Mike Stoops. Oh, they all speak the same. And Lincoln Riley, almost like another Stoops, that's exactly what he will do. But nobody gives Lincoln Riley, like, wait, Lincoln Riley's not from the Midwest. Why does he sound like he's from the Midwest? Because people like Lincoln Riley. They clearly don't like Brian Kelly, the new head coach. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to last night's football game. The Cowboys won. They moved the ball. They were fine. The Saints were still in the game late. Taysom Hill playing with a... He has the same injury apparently on his throwing hand that Russell Wilson had in his throwing hand. And I think the Taysom Hill thing is really interesting. You know, it's like I was listening to Cowherd, and I don't understand what our thing is with Taysom Hill or with Sean Payton, or he's not Tim Tebow. If I hear another person say he's Tim Tebow, like, what are you watching? Tim Tebow was, I don't care what his 40 time was, he was a bad athlete in terms of his footwork. He was a terrible thrower in terms of his accuracy. He was a great college player. And he was a subpar NFL quarterback, but they found a way to win games during Tebow time. Now, I don't know if Taysom Hill makes it. I don't know if Taysom Hill is the answer. I don't know what they do in the long-term future. But I can tell you that Taysom Hill is much better than Tim Tebow. He's a much better athlete. He's a better thrower. Is he as good a thrower as the elite quarterbacks in the NFL? Of course not. Of course not. But it's interesting. I'm watching him play against the Cowboys, who were bad 3 of the last 4 weeks. And what did everybody say about why they were bad 3 of the last 4 weeks? Well, you didn't have Tyron Smith, their left tackle. Well, you didn't have their wide receivers. And if you don't have your wide receivers, you don't have your left tackle, you don't have a chance. So, of course, Dak Prescott, who, oh yeah, by the way, his first week back when he played poorly, do you remember what people said? He's coming off of an injury. Wasn't sharp. Right, do you remember all that? Hey, where's Taysom Hill been the last couple weeks? Jay Stu?
Taysom Hill's been nursing an injury of some kind.
Yes. He was in the concussion protocol, and he's been nursing other injuries, right? so that happened. Yet, who was out last night for the Saints? Michael Thomas has been out the whole year. Alvin Kamara's out, who's without any question their best offensive weapon. And, oh yeah, by the way, they didn't have either of their bookend tackles. Now, that doesn't excuse some of the inaccuracy. That doesn't excuse the pick six where he seemed to throw the ball right to a defensive end that he did not see. That doesn't excuse a lot of different things. But I find it to be more than a little peculiar that Taysom Hill, who's tougher than a $2 steak, who his coach that we all believe, like, just so you know, Sean Payton's resume is not just that he resurrected Drew Brees' career. Sean Payton was the guy who believed in Tony Romo because Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator with those Dallas Cowboys teams. So I don't really understand the negativity there. I don't get it. Do I think he's great? No. Do I think I have... Do I think he has the makings of a great quarterback? No, but do I think it's his first week back off of injury without his bookend tackles, without his best offensive weapon, without their best and highest paid wide receiver they've ever had in franchise history? Yeah. So, like, what are we doing here? He's better than Tebow. I don't think, he's not as good a runner. Obviously not as elusive as Lamar, but he's pretty good and really tough. And a different sort of athlete. And you do get some value out of him moving him all over the field. In terms of how much they pay him, I'm not going to judge him based upon how much he's being paid. Otherwise, I have to go through every player. If you really want to get down to it, the biggest pissing away money is what they've done with Michael Thomas, because Thomas has been hurt or lazy or whatever's going on with Michael Thomas and not getting the surgery when he's supposed to get the surgery. I understand it's quarterback. I understand he wasn't good enough last night. I get it. Okay, get it. But I also think that if we're reasonable, here's a guy who just suffered a torn ligament in his throwing finger without his bookend tackles, without Alvin Kamara, without Michael Thomas. And oh yeah, by the way, if we're really being honest, the Dallas Cowboys are way more talented than the Saints, especially considering how beat up the Saints are. Here's Sean Payton on Taysom Hill's performance.
No, he was playing quarterback. I hurt his finger. We had to splint it somewhere in the first half, but he felt good enough to go, but our plan was to play him. Man, I thought he played with a lot of heart, a lot of guts. You know, we didn't help him any in the first half. I'll be honest with you, we got to catch that first interception. It's the perfect coverage look we get. We drop a ball, they make a good play on it. That's unfortunate.
This is Taysom Hill on his offense.
I'm not going to rush to any conclusions, having not seen the tape or anything, but I feel like we did some things really well tonight, and then we did some things really poorly. Obviously, it's tough to win a game when you turn the ball over four times. That's really what jumps out.
Dak Prescott on what this win means for the Cowboys.
I've got to stay disciplined and just playing play by play and not trying to put the dagger in them and knock them out of the game. And when you do that, as I said, that's why I was sloppy there. I'm just trying to do more than what was within the plan, what they were giving me.
Love Dak Prescott, by the way, at the press conference. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not sure he's a superstar, but there's a lot of things he does which are superstar caliber, including what he does at the podium. So the net takeaway is the Cowboys won a game they kind of had to win, solidifies themselves as the team in the NFC East. Did they look great? No, but they were just getting back and getting healthy on offense. And while the Saints' season continues to kind of wither away, mostly because of injuries, I'm not one of these guys that's going to sit there and jump off a roof and tell you that Sean Payton knows less about the position than I do. On the other hand, an injury like this to Taysom Hill, and I do wonder when he plays quarterback again and what the Saints look like moving forward.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I got to take a second here. I just, I'm watching the district attorney in Michigan, and I think we're all familiar with what happened in Michigan. And the mom and the dad have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. When you hear the details, you will be so sickened. Okay? I know it's a sports show. Okay? And I fully understand that I listen to sports shows and many times to get away from all of the rhetoric of politics. You know, I do listen to other talk radio. I do listen to music. But we'll do this thing, which is just disgraceful. When it's something we don't like, it makes us uncomfortable. When we know we're wrong, we'll lash out and we'll go like, Gottlieb, you're just on your high horse. And I'm not political. I'm a human being with three kids that go away to school every day. Here's what happened. A dad goes and buys a 9mm for his kid. The mom posts on social media that she's going out shooting with the kid. The kid gets caught in school looking up ammunition on his cell phone. The teacher reaches out to the mom. The mom texts the kid, LOL, you got to learn to not get caught. The kid has a drawing of shooting people. The teacher takes a picture. The parents are called to the office. The kid goes to the office. The counselor says, hey, you got to get this kid in counseling in 48 hours. Kid goes back and shoots up the school. And the point is that we finally, at least in this particular instance, though it's too late for the kids that died, we're finally at least getting to the, it is the parents' fault. It is your fault. Don't give me this, not my fault. Your fault. Your kids are your fault. My kids do something, that's on me. That's on me. But we, collectively, it's all of our fault. Look, I've been doing this at this time slot, okay, since 2007. And 2007, roughly 14 years or so. Okay. There was a guy named Scott Masteller, who was one of my old bosses at ESPN Radio, and he's a delightful fella. And I'll never forget that he wanted to come to my house one day. And I was like, what? It's just weird. I had little babies at the time. I remember him, he comes to my house and he's kind of portly fella. He lives in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and he couldn't be nicer. And he's one of these radio lifers, right? Just radio lifer. And Scott's the kind of guy that, while I think other people would dismiss. I found him to be awesome in terms of his feedback. Like, it's really hard to get real radio guys that really understand. You got to know what you're doing, right? So I remember when he walked into my backyard in Burlington, Connecticut, and said, "Hey, I got great news. I'm giving you your own show on national radio." And the thing about being on 4 to 7 back then, and now 3 to 6 East Coast time, is we like to take in the sports news of the day, but oftentimes, again, you can't plan on just Cowboys, Saints, what happened last night, and maybe what happened tonight, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the morning. And during these last 14 years, I can count, I take off my shoes, and there's even more school shootings, mass shootings than that. I was on air with the Boston Marathon bombing. And so you're left with, like, I want to talk about sports, but my God. And so I say this every time, and I'm glad I heard Chris, he's my old congressman in Connecticut. He said what I've been saying for 14 years. 14. Every time it happens. If your congressman, if your representative, if somebody who represents you and your family is unwilling to do anything, get rid of them. It doesn't have to be a perfect solution. Doesn't. Okay? There is no perfect solution. There is no perfect utopian society. It just isn't. We are a wonderful country. I have traveled the world. I've played basketball in 15 countries. I've lived in 3 of them outside of the United States. I've been able to travel the world and been able to talk about sports my entire professional career after playing basketball. I haven't had a real job. For 5 days, I built a wall in Drumright, Oklahoma, because I was in between things. And I made it up to myself that I ain't doing physical labor. I'm gonna figure it out. It was 5 days. That was enough. And I'm not saying I disrespect physical labor. I ain't cut out for that, man. I ain't doing it. I'm better at talking than I am doing. My brain works differently than other people's brains. My point is, like, I'm able to do this because this country is awesome. We have so many amazing things to offer, right? Between Silicon Valley, between the stock market, our military people that are braver than we can possibly imagine, with the greatest constitution ever written. But we are not perfect. And this is a strictly American problem. It does not happen everywhere else, especially with the amount of times it happens. Has it happened one off here and one off there and one off here? Sure. It's terrible. There are tragedies all over the world. Unspeakable. But we have people who I work with who are so concerned with the human rights of other countries that they fail to see that, what about the human rights of our children to simply go to school? Like, you remember middle school, right? Remember high school? Sucks. It's the worst and sometimes the best, right? You have your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend. You go to your high school football game. Maybe you play sports. You get a letter jacket. You have a dance. On the other hand, maybe you get picked on. Maybe you can't ask out the girl that you want. Maybe you get your heart broken for the first time. Maybe your school's bad at your choice in sport. Maybe you and your coach don't get along. Maybe you move in and you don't know anybody and you feel really uncomfortable. Plus, you're going through this kind of uncomfortable stage of maturation. Right? It's the best and the worst. You know what you don't need? You don't need to be looking over your shoulder and wonder, am I going to live through this class? And you know whose fault that is? Yours and mine. All of ours. And I am tired of having to apologize for the fact that I know what the problem is and you know what the problem is. And we're all unwilling to go, like, yeah, you're right. Because as good as the document is, it's wonderfully written. Okay? It's also fixable. That's the beauty to it. And so while we're worried in 1776 about a tyrannical government or about militiamen living in your home illegally, and so arming yourself was a necessity, having weaponry that's this available to idiots like this family in Michigan that turn over a semi-automatic handgun to a teenager who takes it to school, writes a drawing about it, says their voice is in a head, and the parents aren't smart enough to do something about it. They don't confiscate the gun. They didn't know where it was. And then he shoots classmates. And you mean to tell me, I couldn't see it coming? Really? I'm done throwing up my hands. And so I've said this for 14 years. Because this is the time slot where all the crap lays out, right? It just is. Just little radio 101 for you, okay? Like morning shows, wacky morning show, right? Loud, fun. Let's have some sounders. Dan Patrick, great show. They get to talk about all the great things the night before. They get to book the good guest, Colin Cowherd. These are arguably two of the greatest sports radio shows of all time. They're reacting to stories of last night and stories of the morning. They don't have to touch all this. 3 to 6 or 4 to 7 in the afternoon East Coast time. A lot of times locally we get covered up because you have a guy that's going to talk about the Mets or the Jets or the Red Sox or the whatever, and it's the local guy that whatever. So what we do is we kind of catch all the crap. The stuff from the morning, the night before, the stuff of the day of, promote the night before. But you know what? I'm just tired of making excuses while I'm not going to talk about something real. Okay. I want you to picture your son or your daughter's cell phone. This is a real thing. Okay. Why do you take it away? Because, and I'm just as bad as anybody else, they can't control themselves. It is an addictive device. It's an amazing device. I mean, the idea that I can book a flight, I can do a radio show from it, I can text anybody anywhere around the world, I can locate my children, I can order food, all right here on this device. But it's addictive as hell. And if you're not using it properly, your parent takes it away, right? Okay, we're not using these things properly. Or maybe we are, right? Semi-automatic handgun is really designed for one thing, kill people. So I'm not proposing you take away every gun, but I don't think it's a crazy thought. Because if you can't, if we collectively continued to drive cars poorly, we would take away somebody's license, right? We don't allow young people to have cars because they can't control themselves. You wouldn't put a 16-year-old behind the wheel of a Lamborghini, would you? Why? Because he can't control it. He can't make proper decisions. But you can get him a semi-automatic handgun? Like, what world are we living in that this is okay? I don't know. I'm sorry. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, I promise we'll get back to sports. Sorry, just really, really disturbed by this stuff. John Middlecoff is our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so Dak Prescott comes off of injury, doesn't have his wide receivers, okay, plays poorly. Also didn't have his left tackle, plays poorly. They lose 3 out of 4, plays pretty well last night. Okay, we're like, well, he's Dak Prescott. And granted, he's played really well in the past. Taysom Hill comes off of injury, doesn't have their best wide receiver, their best offensive player, their tackles. I thought he played pretty well in spurts, hurts his finger just like Russell Wilson and sprays around 4 turnovers. And suddenly he's like Tim Tebow. Like, why does Taysom Hill not at least deserve the benefit of the doubt, considering Sean Payton's generally perceived as a genius offensive mind, and Sean Payton champions this guy? Why do we not believe in Sean Payton and Taysom Hill?
Yeah, I just think that we don't view Taysom Hill as a quarterback. I mean, I just really think it's that simple. People just view him more as a gadget, like a different position. You know, he's not a natural quarterback. I know he wasn't in college, but then they transitioned, and he was a good role player. But they insist on him playing quarterback. And you saw, like, to me, his arm's just not that great. And, you know, you throw 4 picks. I mean, he's not the first quarterback to throw 4 picks in a game. But I just don't watch a guy to get, like, they're trying to make the playoffs. They have a pretty good defense. And he wasn't the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season for a reason. He's just not better than what they had. And even before, you know, they brought in Simeon. I don't think they want this guy to play quarterback. They're just kind of desperate. To me, he's just not a very good thrower of the football.
So why do they keep giving him more money?
That's a hell of a question. Just because, like, Sean Payton is elite. Like, he is a fantastic play caller, I think he makes like $15 million and he's earned it. But just because you're great at your job doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. And for whatever reason, he's obsessed with this guy. Now, they're kind of in some cap issues, so maybe they're moving money back. I don't think they're paying him like a quarterback, but yeah, it's pretty bizarre. It's just one of those things. And sometimes it happens, you know, in sports. In any, you know, basketball, baseball, football, just the head scratching, it doesn't make any sense. I don't really know how else to put it.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so the Cowboys, we know they're immensely talented, but they're still, it's just still not a smooth-running machine. Did they show you anything last night to tell you, all right, they're going to get there by the end of the season?
Well, to me, they have these two players on defense that just make these incredible splash plays. I mean, Micah Parsons is a game wrecker right now. He's easily one of the best players in the league. He's just kind of an unstoppable force. So when you have that, your defense can be kind of hit or miss, and at any moment he could have a big sack or create a fumble. And then say what you want about Diggs, like he finds the football. The guy makes plays. So as long as you have turnover machines on defense, they have enough weapons on offense, especially once Amari kind of gets back in terms of like gets his health, you know, under him. CeeDee Lamb, like we saw Pollard's just way faster than Zeke. It's going to just come down to Dak not turning the ball over in the playoffs. I mean, they're more than likely they're going to be the 4 seed. And depending on who the 5 seed is, it could be the Rams. Hell, it could be the Niners. They could, like, I don't know if the Cowboys are just a lock to win a playoff game, but, you know, we'll see. I guess if the football team plays them twice in the last month, so I guess the division isn't over for sure, but I have a hard time seeing the football team just rattling off like 5 straight wins. But I think Dallas just has a lot of high-end impact players that if they're humming on any given game, they could beat anybody.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What's up with the Rams? Like, is Stafford not as good as they thought? Is it that they can't run the ball? Are people figuring out Sean McVay's offense? What's going on with the Rams?
Yeah, I think they've got away, and they really have the last couple years. But their run game, you know, and their physicality as a team when he first got there, and obviously they had Todd Gurley, but they were tough. And they were physical, kind of like what Green Bay has become under LaFleur, like when the 49ers are playing well, what they are. And you watch the Rams now, they're like a spread offense. And listen, I supported Matt Stafford. I liked Matt Stafford. And I always took the stance on the ledger of get him to a better spot, he'll be a great player. Well, he just hasn't played very well. Simple, you know. And then I think when you look at his whole career, he's playing on a team that has like NFC championship expectations, right? They want to go to the Super Bowl. He's never had that. So he's already played, you know, that Green Bay game. He's played Green Bay a million times being with Detroit. Let's face it, most of the games never mattered. You know, that mattered. The game against the 49ers mattered. The game against the Titans on Sunday Night Football mattered. He's not used to playing Sunday night and Monday night games, you know, in November. And for whatever reason, he's just – and they're depending on him, you know, to throw it 45 times a game. So it's just you can do that with Rodgers. You can do that with Brady. I think we're seeing that with Stafford, maybe he just needs to get this year under his belt of handling the pressure and feeling it, and maybe they'll be better off next year. But clearly with the Von Miller trade, they're obsessed with this season. And I don't know. I'm not out on them, but I definitely am pretty nervous. Like I don't think they have a Super Bowl team right now for sure.
I don't. They don't have a Super Bowl team. I mean, they got their asses kicked by the Titans. That didn't have.
When I say Super Bowl team, I even mean just like an. I don't think they're a lock to win a playoff game right now.
No. I mean, like, listen, the playoff teams that they've played have kicked their ass all over the field, right? I mean, that's what happened. Like the Packers,
Green Bay worked them, and that's
hold on, wait. You know. The Niners worked them. The Titans worked them. Those are the good teams. That's the true test of who you are. And remember, the Titans, they didn't have Derrick Henry. The Niners, this is before really they'd gotten their confidence, right? I mean, this is the game that kind of got them going. And the Packers still weren't really healthy or right. I mean, Aaron Jones is coming back. You know, did Aaron Jones play that game? Like, they're getting their asses kicked here and by the good teams. And you want to, and I'm not attacking you. It's like we all walk in with the thought that they're playing for the Super Bowl. Like Super Bowl, they can't beat any of the good teams. Okay, let's work to another one that's interesting. Now, The Ravens haven't played what I think people perceive as the most difficult part of the schedule. They did kick the crap out of the Chargers, but there's been a lot of escapes. So part of me says, hey, winners win, right? There's the old coaching expression, can you play well when you're not playing well? And they do. They don't play well, and he throws four picks, they just figure it out, find a way to win. There is a value to that. But there also has got to be a warning sign, like, they escaped the Lions. You know, they escaped the Colts. They escaped last week. Where are you on the Ravens?
I actually, watching that the Bengal game last week, kind of think the Bengals are the best team in that division. Now, the Ravens, like you said, there is value in escaping. Like, the point of the game is to win. They're tough, and they have been for a decade, right? Longer than that, multiple decades. So when you're tough, you can battle through. And when I say tough, like, they're physical. They always play good defense. Obviously, their offense is predicated on a guy that runs the ball a lot. So their offense is just kind of a downhill physical offense that they can. And they've won a lot of games the last several years with Lamar, so they know how to figure it out. But they have so many missing players just from the injuries. And I think eventually it catches up to you. And then, as you see, like, when Lamar does not play a Pro Bowl-level game, they are holding on for dear life. The Steelers are in shambles. I mean, their quarterback looks like he's 80. So, to me, they're done. I think the Ravens are going to win this game. But if the Bengals win this weekend against the Chargers, which I think they will, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Cincy sneaks up and, you know, wins this division, because they'll have a big game next week with the Niners. They're, to me, you know, Lamar has proven way more than Burrow, but Burrow's playing pretty well. Chase looks awesome. Boyd and Higgins have like almost 100 catches combined. Mixon's a stud. I mean, that team's real. Yeah, I mean, offensively. So it's just, I actually kind of like them to keep on coming.
Yeah, you know, what's fascinating about the Bengals is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, end of last year, there's a lot of questions. Did we hire the right guy? Should we fire him? Right? I mean, that was really, he was kind of coaching for his job early in the season. And now it's like, hold on there. I'm with you. I think they're the best team in that division. And Burrow obviously has kind of that swagger back. How come that staff gets zero credit? Like, if they play well, it's Burrow and Chase and nothing else.
It's kind of crazy. It might just be the market. I mean, we just don't really talk about Cincinnati that much. But I'm with you. That guy's done, you know, Zach Taylor's done a good job. And he's clearly, you know, an offensive guy, the offensive play caller, a McVay guy. They're physical. And now part of it is just the player. Joe Mixon's really, really good. And, you know, when you have that to go along with all the weapons they have, and obviously Joe Burrow is just, you know, a budding star. Now, some of these games, we'll see. Like, this weekend's a big weekend, right? Because a guy that gets a little bit of a pass, because everyone likes him so much and he's really smart and he's an impressive guy, is Brandon Staley. But that team's kind of in shambles, right? I mean, he's the defensive play caller. Their defense isn't very good. Offensively, they're just off. You watch him, you go, this is not the Justin Herbert I saw last year. So, it's like, to me, this is a big weekend for them. But are you confident that they go in and beat Cincinnati?
No! No! No, yeah. You want to talk about another team that, like, I'm with you. Like, Brandon Staley says all the right things. Sally, you got everything buttoned up. He's got every speech possible. Great. You know what they can't do? They can't stop the run, and they haven't figured that out. Teams just load up and run it down their throat. And then we're back to watching Justin Herbert dink and dunk this sucker. And it's not like he doesn't have play. Now, they have been hurt by injuries on that offensive line. That's really, really hurt them. And the offensive line, when it was right, was impressive. They were a different team. But again, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, they just – part of hiring Brandon Staley to me was like he was going to be a dynamic defensive coordinator. And he still calls the play. So I thought their defense coming into the season. But then you look back – I said it this week on the podcast. You know, there's something to be said about experience. Sean McVay, when he got hired, while he was 34 or whatever when he got the job, or hell, even younger than that, he had been in the league since he was 22 years old. When Kyle got hired at 36 or whatever, he had been in the league since he was like 24. Like, they had spent, you know, a decade in the league. Brandon Staley's been in the league 5 years. And he, you know, was only a play caller the one season in L.A. So when some of the, you know, what hits the fan – it's not like he has a decade of experience in working for three different coaches to go off of, right? And I think sometimes we overlook that. when it happens with some – like, not every younger coach is the same. Some young coaches – I mean, Belichick, by the time he was 40, had been in the league 20 years. You know, some guys start ground running. Other guys work in college or work – and it's still football, but it's clearly different. And Brandon Staley, the other thing is, he came from a really small school. So it's not like, well, you know, the other 5 years before I got to the league, I was working for Saban or Jimbo Fisher with all these NFL guys. Like, no, he was at John Carroll.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing finishes up. Okay, we got to run in a second. So, I'm trying to figure out is Tua playing well? Are we changing our opinion of Tua because Tua man? Everyone I talk to in football is like, yeah, he just doesn't have it. Now there are some signs of life, or is that fooling us? What do you see when you watch Tua?
Well, he's definitely been more accurate, but the last couple weeks, I mean, the Panthers were in shambles. Cam was awful last week, turning the ball over, and the previous week was the Jets. And the Ravens game, while impressive, it was a Thursday night game, and they were the home team. So, you know, and then the previous week, they've won four games in a row. They beat the Texans. You know, and now they got the Giants and the Jets coming up. So, yeah, he could rattle off a pretty good stretch here. But is that what's that going to change? Does that just help his trade value? Because – you think that the owner would pivot from Deshaun Watson? Because it doesn't feel like he will. So he's definitely playing much better than he did last year or early in the season. But I do think it's a little opponent. You know, would he be doing this if he went back-to-back weeks against the Bills and the Patriots? I mean, we don't get to see that. So I would doubt it. No.
Can you give me a Southern Go Tigers? Can you give me a? Are you better than Brian Kelly at the Southern accent?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do it. Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. You gotta feel the inner Coach O. You gotta go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Do you think he's gonna implement the Southern accent, or is it gonna come and go as he just coaches through LSU over the next several years?
Oh, I think by the time we get to like year three, and he's gonna have his own gumbo shop. There's no question there. I mean, these guys are all such chameleons. I mean, I point out today on Twitter, like, Lincoln Riley, like, he's from Texas. Why is he doing a Bob Stoops imitation? Like, Lincoln Riley right now reminds me when Kobe first got in the league and he was doing a Michael Jordan imitation. Remember that? Like, Kobe used to talk exactly like Michael Jordan, chew gum, walk and talk like Michael Jordan. That's what Lincoln Riley does with Bob Stoops. And you're like, at some point, like, kind of just be your own dude, man. So
exactly. They hired you to be Brian Kelly, not Ed O meets Brian Kelly.
Go Tigers. All right, Brian. All right, John. You have a good weekend now. Go Tigers.
You too. Play some football.
Okay. John Middlecoff, NFL analyst, former NFL scout. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports, Bettor Sportsbook, Bettor Sportsbook. You must be 21, must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll find out what the Fox said next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we try and get you caught up on something we heard early in the day. But a little pinch for time went long with Middlecoff. You know, there's something that happened earlier today, which is really interesting. Andrew Perloff, who's known as McLovin on Dan Patrick's show, announced he's leaving the show. He's actually he's going to be in this time slot at my old time slot at one of my old homes. So first, congratulations to McLovin. And congratulations to Dan, because that's an amazing thing, right? Like, I don't think he's ever co-hosted a national show before. He got, like, that's a great deal. And Beyer knows this. Both of my former Fox Sports Radio producers know this. My CBS Sports Radio producer, Adam Klug, knows this, that I'm big on when somebody of your group gets a better job. That's an amazing thing. That's what this whole deal is about, right? Everybody keep climbing. Everybody eats, right? Everybody eats. And I kind of think that's what it's supposed to be about with coaching. But man, we get really caught up in a lot of things that don't matter. All right, coming up next in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Speaking of that, Brian Kelly's new accent. I'll tell you where it comes from next.